Well, there might be some religions where people do tend to decorate their home, maybe some idol in the window, and you could say, well, a Buddhist lives there because they've got a Buddha in the window. Or they might be a Jewish home where they have that little alcove in the doorway. It's called a mezuzah, where they keep the Shema prayer. And a Jew, I'm not sure if it's going out or in or both times, they touch that. And that's the mark of a Jewish home. And so there are some telltale signs for various religions. But for Christianity, what might you find? And as you would go into a home, you can't say, well, that's Christian paint on the wall. And you can't say, well, that carpet, we know that person's a Christian.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Thank you for joining with us here on the program. Today we're going to be speaking on the Christian home from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Some simple but wonderful pointers that may enable us to establish a truly Christian home. Not in outward appearance, but by the inward life. And I trust it will be true in your home also. We want to have the Lord with us. We want to have the Lord's blessing in the place where we spend most of our time. And so we invite you to stay tuned for the program today. At the end, we'll have a hymn, How Firm a Foundation. But let's read 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7. This is the chapter where the Apostle Paul writes to the young pastor Timothy, and he calls him to appoint rulers in the church, elders and deacons. And there are qualifications that apply to the home life as well as the church life. So let's read this third chapter in 1 Timothy. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection, with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are, which are without, lest he fall into reproach, and the snare of the devil. We end there. May the Lord bless the simple reading of his own word and write it on your heart. The Christian home, what an important issue it is. And it's one thing to call it Christian, but is it truly the place where Christ dwells and where God's people are living for the Savior, where mother, father, and children are truly exalting the Lord in that home? Well, that's the sermon today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church. May the Lord minister to your heart as we turn to this message right now.
The natural outflow of our message last Sunday morning begs the question, what is a Christian home? Speaking on Joshua last week, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we got into Joshua's determination and resolve to serve God, and when he talked about me and my house. So we come to the question today then, well, what is a Christian home? If you're driving around in a subdivision, maybe up and down the street, and you look at various homes and so on, can you say, well, that's a Christian home? That's not. That is. That's not. Can you do that? Well, there might be some religions where people do tend to decorate their home, maybe some idol in the window, and you could say, well, a Buddhist lives there because they've got a Buddha in the window. Or they might be a Jewish home where they have that little alcove in the doorway. It's called a mezuzah, where they keep the Shema prayer. And a Jew, I'm not sure if it's going out or in or both times, they touch that. And that's the mark of a Jewish home. And so there are some telltale signs for various religions. But for Christianity, what might you find? And as you would go into a home, you can't say, well, that's Christian paint on the wall. And you can't say, well, that carpet, we know that person's a Christian. And no, rather, the clue that might give the tale that this is a Christian home would really be an open Bible. And of course, you'd like to see it as a well-used Bible. If it's brand new looking, you might have a question mark. Well, these people have a Bible, but does that make them Christians? And this is the issue that we want to look at here today. So a Christian home is really not the architecture. It's nothing to do with the materials or the furnishings, but rather the very people who do dwell and live out their lives in that home. So what would you find in a genuinely true Christian home? Well, no doubt you will find a lot of living, a lot of eating. There's a lot of cooking going on, and there's going to be playing, sleeping, doing all those necessary tasks and chores to care for bodies and families and those different things. Paying bills. There might be a little alcove here, and you've got all the paperwork of the home stacked. And that's going to happen also in a Christian home. And there will be a medicine cabinet because there's hurts and ills and pains and sometimes sickness. And sometimes looking into a person's medicine cabinet will tell you a whole lot of what really is going on in that home. Now, what are then the distinctive marks of a Christian home? There could be a very exhaustive list drawn up, but I want to suggest five, and I want us to hone in on those. A Christian home is a place, a family, a dwelling, where Christ rules in hearts, where the Lord Jesus rules and lives in hearts. A Christian home is where the Bible is read and delighted in. It's also a home where biblical roles are played. And the Bible has a lot to say about the role of husband, wife, children, and a distinctly godly Christian home will not mess around with those biblical roles. Christian home is also where righteousness is recognized. There will be an emphasis on purity and where there is real rejoicing in the Lord. And that's why I wanted to open the meeting today with that text. The Lord Jesus said that my joy shall be with you and your joy shall be full. So a real godly Christian home ought to be a joyful home, a place where the Lord dwells, not to bring sadness and mourning, but joy over victory over those things that so often become the struggle of the Christian lives. Now, let's be clear that we will never find a perfect Christian home. You will find these things to degrees, some more so than others. And because we are ourselves imperfect people, and sometimes we're given to sloth and laziness, and sometimes the routine breaks down and we have a bad day. If you visit home on that day, you may not think it's a very good Christian home. If you come back the next day, you say, oh boy, this is wonderful. So there's going to be shades of distinction, degrees, and difference in various Christian homes. But I think these five things that I suggest are worth a close look at today. A Christian home is where Christ rules within hearts. And let me emphasize, the Lord doesn't dwell in walls, carpets, couches, and furnishings and things. The Lord Jesus dwells in hearts. And these bodies of ours are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we are redeemed to be worshipers of the Lord. Now, coming to our text, I want to choose a text here today, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. Not often I preach this way, that I get a subject before I get a Bible text. But this, as I said, the natural overflow of our message in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you'll notice here that the apostle puts the emphasis on the man of God. For if a man know how to rule his own house. And so it is the man that is addressed. And it is the person that makes that a Christian home. And so when you're saved, you are the Lord's child. You are indwelt by His Spirit. And where there is a Christian and members of the family who are born of the Spirit, there is the Lord. The Lord will be present. And if the gospel claims your heart, it will claim your home as well. It will claim the very place where you live. And of course, each of us spend the majority of our time in homes. And we live, sleep, eat, recreate, play, and we enjoy the company of family and friends in our homes. This is where real Christian living takes place. And the emphasis you'll notice, now I want you to notice this in verse 5, the emphasis is that as it goes in the home, so will it be in the church. You notice the emphasis? For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So it starts in the home. If your home is not a Christian home, if your home is not a place where the Lord is with you, can we expect us to come along to church and have the Lord with us? No, a Christian home is where people are saved, living out their faith. Now, it is impossible to live the Christian life or have a truly Christian home if you are not indwelt by the Spirit of God. And so you need to be converted. You need to be born again. You need to be a child of God. And when you are saved by grace, then you are really commencing the whole process of living the Christian life in faith by the Spirit and with the power of God. And so this is a challenge, first of all, to examine our own hearts. How can we rule the house of God if one rules not his own home? And how can we rule our home for the Lord if the Lord is not in us, if the Lord is not with us? Now, you could hang a plaque, a picture frame on your home on the wall with the Ten Commandments. But that wouldn't necessarily make it a Christian home. You could put what some people do, that Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest, the listener to every conversation. And that would be commendable. I would rejoice to go into a home and find that. But you could have that statement there and yet not be saved, not be indwelt by the Spirit. And so plaques, pictures, even Bible texts hanging on the wall of your home do not make you have a Christian home. I was taken back once. I went to a home and there was a full-blown picture of Jesus, someone who came to our church for a time. A full-blown picture of Jesus. Does that make a Christian home because you have a picture of an artist's impression of the Lord Jesus? Well, we have all kinds of questions about that, and it doesn't answer the question. On the other side of the coin, where Christ is in hearts, there will be the desire, Lord, I want to have a Christian home. When Beulah and I got married many years ago, we wanted to have a Christian home. We lived in a rented home that was actually owned by Beulah's uncle. And we moved in there and we wanted our home to be a Christian home. We wanted to be a place where we worshiped the Lord and where the Lord was welcome. And all who would come into that home would recognize that the Lord dwells here and the Lord is with us. And that ought to be your desire today, that you want to have a Christian home. And it begins by inviting the Lord into your own heart and truly saying, Lord, live in me and let everything I do be for your honor and for your glory. Now, there's one text I don't want to rush by. It's so important. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. And I think it will nail down this point that a Christian home is where Spirit indwelt Christians live and glorify the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? So once you become a Christian, you can't live any way you like. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And your task, your new mandate as a born-again Christian, because it says, verse 20, you're bought with a price, you are the Lord's slave or servant. Therefore, notice the therefore in verse 20. What are you to do? Do you notice that in verse 20? Do you see the therefore? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that is really what makes a Christian home. Once you take on board in your own life, Lord, I'm saved, you've redeemed me, I'm not now my own, I'm to live for your glory, I'm to honor you in every detail, every aspect of life, in my private life at home, as much as anywhere else. And so that's the first point. A Christian home is where Christ rules in the heart. Also, a Christian home is where the Bible is read. And you can understand that once you get the Bible out and you establish that Bible as the rule of your home, it becomes the authority of the house. It becomes the place where God and all that He has said in His Word becomes, well, what we will call the Magna Carta. It becomes the great rule, the constitution of the home. This is how we live. This Word is what really makes or breaks this home. It's the code to live by. It's our map for direction. And everything that's in the Bible is to be brought to light in a Christian home. It's the final rule and authority. And wherever the Bible speaks clearly on a matter, that's it. No more debates, no more arguments. That's what God says. There's no question about it. Now, there are things that, you know, some people take one direction and other people take another direction, and there are little gray areas. We will always have that discussion. But where God has spoken finally, there's going to be no further debate and discussion. That becomes the very authority of the home. And therefore, it becomes the key to unity. Unity in the home is automatic once the Bible is established. Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's why we would say to a young man, you want to have a wife that loves the Lord and believes the Bible. And we would say to a young lady, you want a husband who follows the Bible. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And the basis of agreement for husbands and wives, for the family, is the Bible. That is the uniting force and brings the family together. And it is a meeting of minds, and it causes conformity to the mind of God. Romans 12 says, that we are to be conformed, that the mind of Christ is to be in us. And we are to be conformed, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now that process goes on, and we'll just take the picture of a young couple getting married, and they come from two different homes. And there's also going to be shades of difference in their backgrounds. But as they commit together to marriage, and they get the Bible out and read that Bible in the home every day, there's going to be a work of conforming, changing their minds, so that what they read in the Bible, what they learn in God's Word, will work in the husband's mind and in the wife's mind, and there will be that agreement. There will be that conform. As they grow together in the Lord, as they walk together in marriage, God will do the changing. But where the Bible's left in the corner, unread, never used, there won't be that agreement of mind. There won't be that process of conforming to the image of the Lord. Now, in that passage in Romans 12, it talks about proving all things, and it talks about having a sober mind. The last thing a wife wants is to be married to a man with some strange notions, and he goes way out in left field on things. The word sober, by the way, means moderation, moderation. And how difficult for a young husband when his new wife, she's got these strange ideas. Well, the Bible will correct that. And there will be a bringing together of mind and understanding and truth. This can be illustrated in a triangle. God is a Trinity, and you have God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit in a triangle. But in Christian homes, you can also think of the triangle. You can think of the husband and the wife, and as they worship God, and the more they saturate themselves in the Word of God, the more they grow in the Lord, in His Word, the closer they get to God, the closer they get together. There's a meeting of minds as they spend time in that Word. And there will be a basic agreement. You know, but I'm not talking about whether Johnny wears pink pants today or blue. That's not the question. I'm talking about, should we have children? Should we have children in a Christian home? Is it God's will for us to be parents, to raise children? How are we going to raise those children? What are the values that we want to instill into the hearts and minds of our children? And there needs to be agreement on that as the husband and wife come together. Money? Well, how to use our money for God's glory and be good stewards of that money. The Bible has a lot to say. And there will be a meeting of minds as that Bible is read and meditated upon in the home. Morals, purity, the things that are right and wrong in the home, the Bible will again speak to that. And as you read the Proverbs, the Psalms, the devotional passages, and the pastoral issues in the Bible, those things are dealt with. If there's a habit of Bible reading, those things will be dealt with. And then, of course, a wife will help her husband to be the man he needs to be. She will see in the Bible what God wants him to be. And likewise, the husband will help his wife to cope.
Thank you.
Well, what an opportunity we have to perhaps take the most important step of our Christian lives, and that is to establish a Christian home. You may have heard the term of establishing an altar in the home. Bible-believing Christians do not mean that we raise up some image, picture, or some statue, but rather that we open the Bible and that we have a family devotional time of Bible reading and prayer, or some instruction that is given to the members of the family in the home. And if Christ is in your heart, He will be in your home. I hope that you picked that up in the message today. If Christ is in your heart, He will be in your home. But in practical terms, how to live that out is to take the Bible and to read it in the family setting. Now, I have to ask you the question, why is it so important to have Bible reading in the home? And the answer is that the Bible is our authority. A father, a mother will guide the home on the principles, the truths of the Bible. And we can say this is right, this is wrong, this is for us, this is not for us, on the basis of the Word of God. And of course, the Holy Spirit uses that word to convict of sin, to convict of those things that are wrong, and to confirm the things that we're doing, that they are the Lord's good pleasure. Now, the husband, for the most part, ought to take the lead in a Christian home. He ought to be the one who gathers the family together, opens the scriptures, reads, and instructs. And there are some great helps for this. I would highly recommend that every home have a study Bible. And there is one that I use. It's a Reformation, Heritage Reformation Study Bible. And it has chapter headings. It has critical remarks for various statements, terms, words that need explanation. And then it has a devotional pointer at the end of the chapter. And I recommend that parents have a Bible like that, that will enable them to read the passage, explain a few things, and then say, well, here's the area we should apply this to our lives. And that is what makes a Christian home. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.